My name is Lasse Nordvik Bedø. I come from a gold partner in Norway called Datametrics. I've been working with unified communications for the past 15 years, gone through the ranks of old call managers, LCS, OCS, Link, Skype for Business. This is my second year as a MVP on Office Services. When I'm not working, not being busy being a family man in Bergen, you can find me on Twitter. Here's my nick. Feel free to contact me. I'll keep the dialogue going. I'll also be available on the forums later, but due to a long flight home, I won't be answering any questions until Monday. I also have a blog where I tend to post interesting things that I come about. This is a level 300 session. So I've divided it into three 100 slots. Now, I'm just giving you a heads up. The first one is called Basics. It might feel like an easy, light thing and not a 300 session. But trust me, as we go down through second and third section, we'll get a little bit deeper into things and we'll reach that 300 level by the end of the session. First of all, we need to know about Office 365. We need to know what kind of licenses, what options we have, what are the prerequisites of Office 365, the architectural design, how it connects to Office 365, and we're going to discuss media flows. Media flows is a big thing. These options should be familiar to most of you. The first one is the Skype for Business on-premises classic, as I call it now. We have everything on-premises. The second one is the Skype for Business with hybrid. For those of you who want to do PBX calling from Office 365, you can do that through the hybrid installation. That's different sessions, and if you missed it, go back and revisit the recordings. Then we have Office 365 with PSTN calling. That is in the USA, UK, Puerto Rico, and I believe they announced Spain and France also this week, and there are more coming. If you're not in one of those countries, and you still want enterprise voice from Office 365, we have the fourth solution with the CCE. Now, what is the Cloud Connector Edition? The Cloud Connector Edition is a minimum topology. To me, it looks like they've taken a great hybrid installation and they ripped out all bits and pieces until they were left with a set of four VMs, which is downloadable from Microsoft. Or as we'll see, they'll come in the appliance you buy. It has an Active Directory. It has an edge component, a mediation component, and a CEMS. Please note there is no registrar here, so there's nothing to home users in. I suspect that this will change over time, but this is what it is right now. Active Directory is used for service pointers. It's used for domain membership of the VM sets. It's used for certificates and DNS services internally in within the CCE. The CMS is what CMS is in Skype for Business. It hosts certain information about the topology and all the components it relates to. The mediation service, well, it's a mediation server, and it is what connects the SIP trunks to the outside world. And then the edge server, we're all familiar with what the edge server does. It talks to internet. I think you should consider the Cloud Connector Edition not as a set of servers, but think of it as a gateway to your local PSTN, okay? It is managed through Office 365. It's not like an on-premises installation where you log on, do a lot of PowerShell, do a lot of configuration. You set it up and you manage it through Office 365. It's independent of your existing on-premises domain infrastructure. It has no knowledge of the schema and all the other domain controllers you have running, just so that you know. And then, what's the CCE not? Most important things, misconceptions about the CCE. It is not a standalone deployment. It hosts no users, and therefore, it cannot be an SPA. So if you lose your internet connection, you also lose the calling capabilities. It has no integration capabilities, so you may not install contact center or attendant consoles or whatever installed to it. Let's talk about licenses. We hear about Cloud PBX, we hear about PSTN calling. How does it all fit? Well, first of all, to use a Cloud Connect tradition, you need the Cloud PBX license. It is either a part of E5 or it's an add-on to E1 and E3 Plan 2. PSTN conferencing is not required for the call functionality, but if you want dial-in conferencing, you need PSTN conferencing. You cannot take a number from your own series, pipe it through the CCE, and configure that as your own conferencing number. So if you want conferencing, PSTN conferencing is what you need. Also a part of E5 or an add-on to the E3. So what about PSTN calling? What's that? PSTN calling is an add-on that enables you to call directly from the cloud with Microsoft as your provider. It's not something that we're using or discussing in this presentation. A little short list here for all of you. Prerequisites for installing the CCE. Now, these are the important things. There's a lot of good documentation on TechNet, and I recommend you read it good. Do something wrong, and you'll have to start over. You cannot have, for now, Cloud Connector Edition and SCART for Business with hybrid in split domain. Why is that? Well, Office 365 does not support more than one hybrid connection. And the Cloud Connector Edition is your hybrid connection. All the users that are going to use Cloud PBX has to be in the cloud. You need valid DNS fully qualified domain names for the outside interface. If you read the documentation, you need one for access, SIP, AP, call it what you want. The name doesn't matter, but it needs to be unique. And then there's an interface for media relay. You need one public IP, which these two fully qualified domain names will share. You need to be able to connect up to the cloud using Skype online connector through PowerShell or something like that to assign users their numbers and their plans. You need a certificate, MTLS. It supports wildcards. And for now, you need to have voicemail, if you want to enable that, for your users in Office 365. Now, someone whispered me in the ear the other day that they're looking on enabling voicemail for users who have Exchange 2013 or Exchange 2016 on-premises. So that might be happening in the near future. Okay, time for a little demo. Now, I know the demo gods here aren't always the best, so I've been cheating. You're going to watch videos as I explain it to you. I'm just telling you what it is. The two commands that I'm going to utilize in this demo to configure the Office 365 to connect to the CCE is set CS tenant federation configuration and set CS tenant hybrid configuration. We are going to configure the hybrid setup and remember to disable the on-premises dial plan. This should be a familiar process with you. You import the Skype online connector, you enter your credentials, you import your session. The reason why I'm showing you this is because during my typing of these demos, I discovered that I had inadvertently opened a lot of sessions, and some of them have timed out, and some of them hadn't. So always remember to do the get PS session and verify that you're actually online and available. See PowerShell, that's why it's called 300. Next, set CS tenant hybrid configuration is what we're going to do. I use a peer destination with a host name. That host name better be the host name on my CCE device and added to the certificate. I also, in the same switch, use on-premises dial plan set to false. And we set the tenant configuration to shared SIP address equals true. How do we verify that these commands have been run? As you see, when you write them down, they don't give you any feedback. So it's always smart to do a get command. Highlighted here, the shared SIP address space equals true. And my tenant hybrid configuration with a peer destination and on-premises dial plan set to false. How does this Cloud Connector Edition fit into our existing environment? This is a drawing that you can find on TechNet, but it's not very specific, is it? I usually say, place it in the DMZ. I'm an old guy, I call it the DMZ. It has an internet-facing interface, and you want to protect it so that it can't immediately do the harm to your internal network. It's just like the edge server. It is multi-home. One interface on the outside, one interface on the inside. Now that's the CCE server that the host that's running the VM set. Media will always go through mediation service. So wherever you place this unit, make sure that your users internally can connect to it, unless you want a lot of traffic to trombone over the internet back and forth. SIP resource records. They point to the cloud. The cloud is the owner of the installation and the topology. All the user management you do thereafter is done in Office 365. You assign a number. You create and assign dial plans. And you have the possibility to allow or disallow international calling. There's one for every tenant. There's no multi-tenancy in Cloud Connector Edition. So if you have multiple tenants, you need multiple Cloud Connector Editions. The edge server in the topology is multi-homed. The outside interface, and this is important, the outside interface of the edge server needs to resolve outside DNS names and not the internal hosts, because that'll mess things up. So you might use a host file on the edge server to resolve the internal VM names that are in use. Separate dedicated forest has no users, has no knowledge of the rest of the world, except for what you let it know through DNS. All of this is set up magically when you run the tools. I wish I had that tool when I deployed Active Directories back in the days. Yeah, you're laughing. Yes?
Since it's in a separate, it's on a separate forest, what if you have, you know, multiple geographical locations?
So we'll get to that in the multi-site configuration in the advanced section. OK? Firewall considerations, they're not very different from an on-premises edge configuration. The internal components may vary, so that's why I don't have definite from and to addresses in my setup. And there are two alternatives for you. There is a minimum firewall setting, and there is a recommended firewall setting. I like that, not minimum and maximum, but minimum and recommended. The minimum configuration, as we're going to look at right now, will force all media traffic from clients on the outside to go through the Office 365 Edge services directly to your Cloud Connector Edition Edge service. So if you have an express route, that would make sense. But if you don't want that traffic to go directly, but you want users roaming around to connect directly to your Cloud Connector Edition, then you should use the recommended version. So here we are again, little drawing. Let's put up that internal firewall. It's not a huge set of rules. As you can see, there's SIP trunk rules at the top, mostly signaling. These are the default values. If you have a provider or you decide to change these default values to something else, update the firewall scheme accordingly. The media flow requires TCP and UDP range between 49,152 to 57,500. That's the recommended setting. You can reduce the numbers through the configuration of your ini file and reduce, of course, the ports you open in your firewall. But each media flow requires 4 ports at minimum. Have that in mind. The minimum firewall rule will allow the allows for the traffic to go to and from the edge services. And as you'll see, it's a bit shorter list than the one that's required when you want the clients to be able to connect directly. So the difference between the internal and the external firewall rule is that the recommended rule set includes the ports the clients use. The minimum uses only the ports that servers use. Media flows, the big question. Where does the traffic go? All signaling will go through the registrar. Having said that, that means Office 365. All the media, or let me correct myself, all the PSTN media traffic will go locally through the mediation services of the Cloud Connector Edition. There's no bypass, so have that in mind when you design your network and where you place things, firewall rules and so on. I'm going to touch upon PSTN site assignment later. But by assigning a site to the user in the cloud, you can tell them which site they belong to. So you can have a site in APAC, assign a site in Europe, and a site in America, have 3 different Cloud Connector editions, and you force that user to home in on one of them. Now some saucy graphics. Signaling always goes through Office 365, coming in from the PSTN all the way out and to the user. The media stays local. Okay, you don't have to worry about the media going all the way out and all the way back in. Keep it simple internally. Having said that, the traffic going out would, of course, be just the same. What about if the user is at Starbucks or at Hilton Hotel on a conference like this? Where does the traffic go? Well, still, it comes in, goes through Office 365, signals the user, and the user will have the media traffic set up to it directly from the Cloud Connector Edition. If you use the recommended firewall setup. If that is not possible, The traffic will go through the edge services of Office 365 and then get to the user. And the same goes for the traffic going out. Now then, how do we configure a user for PSTN? If you use PSTN calling, it's quite simple. It's all in the portal. If you use the Cloud Connector Edition, it might not be just that simple. You actually need to use PowerShell. I'm going to show you how to set the correct license for a user using Cloud PBX and to set the PSTN calling options. This should be done after the CC has been set up, OK? I'm going to utilize the set MS online user license commandlet and the set CS user. They're commands of two different set of packages. So first, we're going to connect using the MSOL service with a username and password. And when that is done, we're going to grab all the users in my tenant, my demo tenant that does not have a license assigned yet, just to show how you do it. Next, just going to let this go through. You see my user at the end here, Lasse demo, no licenses assigned. This is a simplification. The user could always have been assigned a different kind of license. Then we would have to search for users with that kind of license or just search for the user. What kind of licenses do we have available in Office 365? Run the get command, the get MSOL account SKU, shows you what licenses are available. Anyone guess what the enterprise premium license is right here? That's the E5 license. Also note that the account SKU has the name of the tenant and the SKU. So when we run my command, first I'll set my user as a parameter. I'm doing this just to show you that if you import a list of users, you can do that, and you can run a for each loop and then set the license to multiple of users at the same time. You use the set MS online user license with the principal name and add license. You have to use the entire name of the SKU. You cannot just enter Enterprise Premium. You need to have your tenant name as well. And now my demo user no longer is in the list of no licenses assigned. Excellent. Configure a user is even easier. Again, we connect to the Office 365 using the credentials and import the session. I add my user as a parameter. You can add multiple users, and you could import a list including both the username and the number, and then run a for each loop. And then you set CS user, the name, enterprise voice enabled. I've added hosted voicemail and the on-prem line URI. Good. How are we on time? Moving into the second section, the SBC basics. How many of you use a session border controller today and are familiar with what it does? Quite a few hands. Good, good. OK, I can speed along them. We're going to look a bit on the hardware requirements for the CCE in the SBC. We're going to look at capacity considerations, the appliance features, some of the benefits of using a CCE next to a Cloud Connector Edition, licenses, and there'll be a demo here and there not necessarily in the order on the slide here. We're all familiar, I hope you're familiar with the two scenarios that Microsoft has given us. There are two recommendations. There is one sized for 50 sessions and one sized for 500 sessions. And you could, if you buy your own server, go with anything in between. I'm just going to list them up here. I'm not going to go through them. 1 to 500 sessions is quite large server. The 50 sessions is more like a PC with a lot of RAM in it. Capacity considerations. Any Star Wars fans here? Good. I can tell you that Master Yoda is wrong because size matters. The sizing is based on the number of calls that you require to have at the same time. Okay? More calls you have, the bigger the server you need. The important hardware component of media is, all, as always, memory, CPU, network, and the hard drive that you use. Sizing, or the sizing recommendations by Microsoft, they're actually twice the size that you really need because they allow for side-by-side upgrades. In version 1.4.1, they released the Windows Update service option, which means that you can enable Windows Update on it, and it will go and update automatically and switch over without you even noticing. Some of the SPC appliance features. So this is not the appliance, CCE appliance. I'm going to talk about the SPC benefits. The features that you add by using a session border controller, you can have call control. You can have policy management, who gets to call where and when. I love that. Message manipulation. You might be connecting to a PBX that requires certain messages for the setup. You might be having a SIP provider trunk that's not automatically certified for Skype for Business. You need tweaking. You have signaling internet working. Again, you might have a PBX that only speaks H323. Well, no problem. We switch. It allows for TLS. It allows for codec transcoding. Most vendors use G711, but not all do. So it could be great to switch modalities. DTMF, fax internet working. Fax is not supported by Skype for Business. But if you have a SIP trunk and you have faxes, SIP trunk provider supports fax, you can pull that fax out on the session border controller. Of course, this is specialized hardware, and it's not a server. So it reduces latency for higher QoE. I'll say, this is a statement, it simplifies your troubleshooting because the CCE in the SPC comes with a lot better troubleshooting facility than if you have to log on to the servers and try to figure out what's going wrong in your own software environment. You have a codec normalization and standardization. Again, it's good to mediate between different kind of SIP trunks. And the list goes on and on. Higher speed, RTP pinholing for secure SIP media streams. There's a firewall on most of the appliances, at least the one that I'm showing from Sonos. There's a DDoS protection. Some of the vendors have their own encrypting hardware, so the media doesn't lag from poor quality if you have a lot of TLS sessions. And the big bonus, the CCE software edition supports one trunk. The session border controller supports multiple trunks. Some of the benefits is that you can take advantage of your existing infrastructure. Okay? You can migrate at your own pace. You can retain your carrier contract. You can choose the SIP provider you want, site per site. You preserve your customization on premises if you have any. And it has a significantly smaller hardware footprint than if you install your own server set. Easier deployment, I'll show you that in a second, and a lot easier maintenance. Licenses required for the CCE in an SPC appliance. Office 365, we already covered. Then there's, for the software CCE, if you do it yourself, you need licenses for the OS, okay? So that's for the host, recommended data center, and there is a separate Windows server for each of the four VMs. So at least 5 Windows Server licenses is required to run this. If you buy this as an appliance, the licenses come with the unit, perpetual licensing, it's called. Difficult word for a non-native English speaker as me. Other SPC functionality that you require may or may not need additional licenses for the SPC functions. And some of the PBX vendors also require you a license on the PBX you want to connect the SIP trunk to. Just saying so you're aware of that. Let's look at SPC preparations. If you set up a server, you'll have to install that server, the data center, and install all the bits from the Windows OS, update it on Windows update servers. If you buy it as an appliance, like the Sonos one here, you log on, you enter the IP addresses, domain names, and you want, you click apply, and you have your server up and running in minutes. There's also an easy interface for you to generate the certificate you need for your device. Enter your fully qualified domain name, any sounds you need, and the rest of the parameters required for buying the certificate. When that's done, you have your certificate, let's start deploying the CCE. Quick and easy, import certificate. I have, in this demo, I had a certificate with private key and a password protection. We're going to add that real quick. When that's done, we move over to the CC. How many of you guys have seen the configuration file that you need to go through when you deploy the software CCE? Okay. Is it easy to go through? Easy to fill out? Easy to understand? No errors made? Now they start laughing. No, I'm not going to make fun of it, but it could be a lot to go through. Here we have a simple setup. You decide whether or not you want a standalone installation. If you have a secondary SPC, I'll show you. You can add a secondary SPC as a secondary gateway. Just click yes or no and add it. And as you'll see, we'll go through the setup of We'll go through the setup. First, we enter the edge server external IP. Now, in my demo here, that's an internal IP address because I want to show you that you can use NAT with this. So we have a NAT address on the outside. Remember I told you needed one IP address but 2 host names? The SPC in the Sonos uses the same name and IP address for both instances, that is supported. Then we're adding the external gateway, the external DNS server. I told you that you had to remember that the external interface needed to resolve external names. This is how we do it in the Sonos. Instead of logging on and doing things with the Windows Server itself. Then we add the internal network information, the default gateway, the DNS server, the IP addresses of the four hosts required. There's one for the domain controller, one for the CMS, one for the mediation server, and one for the edge internal IP address. Click Apply. Now, this demo might seem a little sluggish to you, but these are developer builds that we're taping. I was told that it's going to be generally available by the end of October. It will probably look slightly different, but it's still, this is to give you the look and feel of how it looks. Now, if I had a requirement to do other configuration than what's available in the Sonos, I could click that click link for advanced information, and what you get is the actual .ini file that looks familiar to those of you who have done this in the software CCE. You will see that it has picked up the information that I've entered. It also has picked up the name of my certificate and added that host name to the configuration file. Okay. What's next? This took, what, 30 seconds? If this was a pure demo or setup, we'll be done in 10 minutes, really. And my session is 75 minutes, so I need to add some more information to it. We click the deploy. What it does, it grabs all the information that you entered in the previous wizard and whatever you entered into the file, lists up the information for you right here, and then you can click the action that says review and deploy. Hitting review and deploy will bring up another box for you with three passwords to enter. There's the local admin. That would be the local admin of each and every server. There's the domain admin. That is the domain for the domain that it creates. And then there's the safe mode admin, which is the Active Directory recovery domain password. Okay. See, there are AD people here too. That's good. Not just Skype for Business fan. Cool. Clicking this OK button will start the process of deploying those four VMs. That will take somewhere between 60 and 90 minutes, I think. I've seen it done a couple of times. Every time we did it, it ended up on 70, 75 minutes for both times. But that means you can have your entire CCE up and running within 2 hours after you install it. How long do you use for setting up a software CCE? 5 hours? Then you've been fast. And you have a good internet connection. Let us compare the processes, OK? Now, they're slightly biased, because I've been fiddling around with the software version, and I wasn't quite impressed of how things are working. So if you're not a savvy Windows Server admin, you have a list of things that you have to do. You have to download the bits. You have to create the switch adapter. You have to convert the software you download to VHDs. You go through the answer file. You have to create the shares to share the certificate. You import the certificate, and you deploy the VMs. And you have to configure the gateway. As with an appliance like Sonos, it comes with a preloaded package. It's easy to configure with templates. And I love wizards. Let's have a look at a couple of the advanced setup options that we have. In a greenfield scenario, I have Office 365. I've installed CCE, and I have a connection to the PSTN. In my experience, there are very few customers with this kind of setup. Okay? Usually looks something like this. We have analog devices. We have PBXs, faxes, SIP phones, and more than one trunk. So how do you get that, all of that, to talk to Office 365? Of course, you use the SBC. Makes sense. Let's have a look at the advanced configuration, some of it. I'm going to connect, show you how easy you configure the SBC to connect to the CCE and to your external SIP trunk provider. And we're going to have a little look at how you can fiddle around with digit manipulation to retain a four-digit dialing regime on your internal network if you want to keep that. So here you can see that my installation is still running and trying to deploy the CCE. I start the wizard for deploying the UC setup. I select that SIP to Microsoft UC. I give it a name. I give it a country. And if you had emergency service, you'd add that as well. Now, on the left side, we have generic SIP trunk. There is a pre-template for AT&T and Verizon. There might be more in the future. But that's what's on these bits. You click Next, and within minutes, you can go through the wizard and add the IP address of the border element, which is my SIP trunk going out. The other information it picks up from the already existing CCE configuration. We click Finish. And before you know it, we have the configuration set up. Now then, in order to see my configuration, I move over to the Settings tab and go down to what's called the signaling groups, which are the two SIP trunks. You'll see that one is down and one is up. The one being down is the one that's being built at this moment. The one being up is my SIP trunk going out. And you'll see that if you browse through that, going to the CCE, it has all the CCE information that's required. The default template allows a so-called pass-through of numbers. It expects that the numbers coming in are the same numbers that's going to go out, including the plus that is as is required by Office 365. But if you want to create rules to, as I said, maintain your four-digit dialing internally, you move users to the cloud. Everybody's used to use dial 4545 to reach Joe, but he moved to the cloud, so his number is now plus 1-203-55, whatever. You can tell them to keep calling 4545. It will send it to the session border controller. The session border controller will then translate it and ship that number as it should be out to the cloud. And the same goes if you dial the other way. Configuration relies on regular expressions. How many know regular expressions by heart? Okay, you don't count. If you go with Sonos, they have a good documentation site that explains regular expressions and tells you how to use the different brackets and numbers and digits and letters. If you notice this demo, I kind of went back and forth because I remembered I had a slash going the wrong way and so on. But at the end of the day, we have a regular expression that takes out the plus one. It removes the six first digits in the first bracket. And it's the second bracket that I want to pass on, which would be in an American number plan, the four last digits, if I did my math correct. Also, You can select between mandatory or optional match rules. If you have more than one rule in your setup, you need to select optional if you want it to be one of them and not the one. Mandatory says that if you do not match this, we will not pass it on. Also, there's the resequence function, because this does it by first match and not best match. Now then, let's have a look at how it looks when we complete our setup. As you can see, if you look down at the bottom, it says that the CCE was, let me back that up for you. Hey. Right there. So, do you see that it was spent 1 hour and 12 minutes for the setup? That's about 70 minutes, close to 75. Now then, let's go to have a look at the virtual machines that it created. You'll see there are four machines having four names. There is an host name, and there is a virtual name for it. You'll notice that this is the 138 build and not 141 build. And they're all running. You can see how much memory they have, how long they've been up and running. And we didn't use a smart name for the domain name for the setup, just to let you know. Okay, let's have a look at that signaling group. There were one of them were red, now they're both green. We're good to go. We can make calls at this moment. We have the user set up previously. We set up this now, so within a very short period of time, we're able to make calls through the system. I want to verify that I'm actually not being tricked by the green light. I can go and check the counters. You can see that there's a lot of counters here because it was trying to reach the CCE before it was up and running. So I'll reset the counters. And how often is a SIP invite sent back and forth from the mediation server? 30 seconds-ish? So after I reset this, it will take about 30 seconds, which I have kind of tried to shorten down a little bit in this video, before you get a new, hopefully, a both incoming and outgoing request and response messages. There you go. You can see the options have incoming and outgoing, and we have responses of those 200. That we expect to see. If you're not seeing this, it's time to start troubleshooting. That's a level 400 session not covered today. Maybe next Ignite. So one of the great benefits of using an appliance and using CCE is that you can have phase migration. It's not a rip out all your old stuff and run out to the cloud tomorrow, because that might seem like a pretty daunting task for some. If you're a company of 20, sure, you can do that. If you're a company of 20,000, that's not as easy, is it? So you can move single users, single extensions out to the cloud. You can move ranges. You can move sites as they're ready. You can move divisions and locations. It really doesn't matter, because as long as you have that slash and board controller in the middle, and you have other PBXs around, you can control what number go where. It is independent from any PSTN or SIP restrictions on your legacy system. And you can do it at your own pace. Slowly at first, but once you get used to it, once you're confident that things are working, you can speed up the process. Let's talk about some of the advanced options of the CCE. Stacking. What is stacking? Remember I said that you could have up to 50 or up to 500 calls simultaneously? So that might, for some, be a limitation and say, no, we can't use the CCE because I need 501 calls. So stack them. It supports to set a multiple CCEs in the same local domain, and you use this both on the CCE side, and you could use it on the SPC side as well. You do it to increase your capacity. You do it to introduce redundancy. It allows upgrade of firmware on any each box at your own pace. And the rules are you can have 3 plus 1, which means you can have 4 units where 3 of them is always on and 1 is kind of spare. So that makes a capacity of 1,500 calls per site, if you go with the big ones. Server names, now we're getting technical. Server names must be, I don't know why I said should, must be unique across all of these 4 units. The internal pool fully qualified domain name should, or should I say, must be the same across the pool. Internal IPs, again, they must be unique, or you'll have a problem. But the fully qualified domain name must be the same. But they cannot all have the same IP address. So remember I said you need 1 IP for 1 CCE. If you have a 3 plus 1, you need 4 IPs. But they all resolve to the same fully qualified domain name. PSTN gateway should be the same. So you don't have one trunk coming into 2 and another trunk coming into the other 2. That will create confusion and probably a lot of errors. Then we have the multi-site configuration. So not all of you are based, have a company that is based in only one location. So it wouldn't make sense to have a CCE placed in Seattle if your users are in Florida. That would create a lot of traffic. You can have a CCE for every location you want. You can also use this as a trick to increase capacity in a huge site. If you have 2 stacks next to each other and you name them as different sites, you can assign users to one stack and the other stack, and you would increase the capacity. So you could potentially, I don't know the number of calls you could potentially have out of one site, as long as you set stacks next to each other as multiple sites. Looks a lot like this. Again, you have the media flow, the signaling flow. What you need to be aware of is it has almost the same requirements as stacking, with the exception of they have separate outside fully qualified domain names. They have separate internal pool names. The media flow will always, can't stress this enough, will always go through the site a user has been assigned to. So if you have, again, Seattle and Florida, you have 2 sites, you assign Joe the site of Florida because that's where he's working. If he's visiting the Seattle office, his traffic will go off the internet and out through the Florida site. Let's have a little look at the multi-site configuration. We're getting close to the end of the long week. I've been trying to speed up a little bit so you can go home early. Again, we connect to the cloud, and we create the hybrid sites I'm here showing you that I have no sites in my setup. I'm going to create 3 new sites. Quick and easy. This one actually gives me some feedback that the sites have been created. I will then try to get the sites, see if they're configured right. I see that one of them have been named wrongly, and I've created the third site that I really didn't need. So it's really easy to remove a site or to rename a different site. And by the end of this little maneuver, we should have 2 sites left, right? With the right name. Excellent. Now, how do we assign that site to a user? Use the set user PSTN setting with the site name. Quite easy. Hybrid PSTN site. If you use the get online CS online user, if you use the get CS user PSTN settings, you'll see what site it has. Then I discovered a little bug when I ran the See, the demo gods are on me. I can get one user, or I can get all of them. Get CS online user. Yeah. Now, what you'll see is that if you run a get online user, as I do, and I've only assigned one site to one user, why do the other users have a site assigned to them? They use the default setting that was created when I created my hybrid setup. Okay? Be aware of that. Because if you assign a lot of sites to a lot of users, and you start seeing calls going from over the internet where you're expected to go locally, it could be because you haven't assigned the correct, or you haven't actually done the assignment just yet. Okay, sources of information. Internet is great for a lot of things. Sources is one of them. You can use the official, or you can download these decks later. You don't have to take all the pictures. You can plan for Skype for Business at TechNet. There's the Prepare Your Environment 141. And who knows, next week there will be a 142, and this link will be stale anyway. So go online for the newest sources. There's also, I want to highlight, Thomas Poet has a hybrid guide that he's made available at the TechNet Gallery. Version 2, he said he had to go home and rewrite it now after this Ignite. So expect a new one coming soon. Then there's the Skype for Business Hybrid Handbook by GetCS Josh. Also a great, but a bit more versatile guide. Thomas is very focused on Skype for Business Hybrid. CS Josh has a bit more also regarding Active Directory and the Office 365 setup. Then there's the link for downloading your CCE software. And it's the Sonos Cloud link for information on the unit that you've seen demoed here today. And with that, I hope you've had a great Ignite. I know this is the last session, cutting it 10 minutes short. Thank you for listening.